This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've joined us. Who is labeled Asian American in this country? We often simplify this really diverse group into one physical appearance, one culture, or one economic status. But that's really misleading. Asian Americans originate from more than 50 countries and many more ethnicities. Whether you're Korean, Sri Lankan, Kazakh, or Indonesian in the United States, you get defined with this single label, Asian American. Here in Detroit, Bangladeshi and Hmong residents have really rich histories, and they are particularly rooted in cities like Hamtramck, Centerline, and Warren. And in Warren each year, the Bangladeshi American Festival attracts thousands of people from all across the country. This year, however, was a little different. That's because the festival was initially canceled after the organizers, the Bangladeshi Association of Michigan, said they received a statement from the Parks and Rec Department that the festival was, quote, too ethnic to celebrate in the city's main square, according to reporting from the Metro Times. Imagine that phrase being uttered in 2023 in Southeast Michigan, that something, anything, is too ethnic. More news has developed since that time. The festival was moved to this upcoming weekend, and the city council has approved an anti-discrimination ordinance. More recently, both the event's organizers and Warren Mayor Jim Fouts described the incident as a misunderstanding. But in this discussion, we want to go beyond the controversies and the Bangladeshi American Festival itself and discuss the histories of Asian Americans here in Southeast Michigan, and particularly how Bangladeshi and Hmong cultural practices have been influenced by the city of Detroit and how they have influenced us here in Detroit and the region. To explore this, we've got two great guests with us. Nargis Rahman is a reporter for WDET. She herself is also Bangladeshi. She lives in Warren and has documented the oral histories of Detroit's Bangladeshi community. Nargis, welcome to the studio.
Great to be here, Stephen.
Also with us is Dr. Melissa Borja. She is an assistant professor at the University of Michigan in the American Studies and APIA Studies Department. She conducts research on Hmong communities and the policies that govern them. Dr. Borja, welcome to Detroit Today.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me to be part of this conversation.
Sure. So, Nargis, let's start with you. Let's talk about that term, Asian American. What do you make of that term, and I guess how it relates to how you think of yourself? I find it really interesting, in fact, that we use that term to describe so many people of different origins and experiences, but I'm curious about, for you, how that falls on your ears.
You know, I think it's a really interesting dynamic, because when I was in school, I remember that usually when you fill out forms, there's only an option to pick from certain categories. And so the closest that I would relate to is Asian, but I'd always be like, well, you know, my ancestors are probably like rolling in their graves right now and saying like, no, you're not. You're Bangladeshis. And don't forget that, because there's a long history of our people fighting for our culture and our language even. So you know, in many ways, we are not politically always aligned with the Asian American. And that's, like you said, Stephen, it's not the way people see us. But in some ways, today in 2023, there are some goals and things that we do have in common with the Asian American community. And we're finding ourselves more and more politically aligned, reaching across the aisle, and coming together and saying, how are we similar if we are, and where can we meet at those crossroads?
Yeah. So much has changed here in Southeast Michigan throughout my life in terms of the growth of different kinds of communities. Communities that were very small when I was young are now huge here in Detroit and Southeast Michigan. I think of Hamtramck as kind of ground zero for an example of that. That was a mostly Polish community for a long time, and that was how I remember it from when I was a kid. I actually went to preschool in Hamtramck. Now it's a community that looks very different. I also wonder from your seat, Nargis, how all of that change looks and feels here in Detroit and in the region.
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, my family moved to Hamtramck in 2000. It was right at the crux of when a lot of families were moving from New York, actually. And so we call that the second wave migration. And so to give you some context, a lot of Bangladeshi families were moving to the U.S. in the early 1900s, usually single men. They would come here and work and then send money back home to support their families. Eventually, they'd go back and get married and then bring their families over. A lot of people then came in the 1990s and the 2000s, mostly because after the 1965 civil rights era, there was immigration laws that expanded space for South Asians to come into the U.S. And people had something called like the diversity visa, or if one family member was able to come here, like, for example, my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, rather, he was able to come here and then apply for my mom. And then I came through her, and et cetera. And then my dad was then part of the group that applied for his siblings. And they came in the late, you know, early 2000s, 2010s. So they kind of settled in over time. So now Southeast Asians are coming at exponential numbers to areas like Hamtramck and Detroit, where in the beginning they used to come straight to New York and settle in and then kind of spread throughout U.S. cities once they were able to financially move out and get more space. And now, like you said, Stephen, Hamtramck is one of those very attractive places to be what I call like a starter family space, you know, and for immigrants specifically, because you don't have to know English, you don't have to drive, you can go walk to grab your groceries, you can have ethnic or culturally specific groceries, even just walking down the street. So you can really raise your family without having to do a lot of assimilation, whereas parents like my parents had to when they first came to the U.S., because there's a huge learning curve. And when people were coming, when I saw my own relatives coming in the 2000s, they were working, bought a house within 2-3 years, were able to purchase a vehicle. And in many times, they were also able to move out into cities like Warren and the suburbs much quicker than people who had to learn the ropes the hard way, the long way back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Bora, I want to bring you into the conversation here and talk to you about that same question. Do you feel that the communities you research are often represented or well represented by this term, Asian America? And from your scholarship, what does that identity, I guess, mean to you? What is Asian American? And does it fully kind of describe the various communities that we're talking about?
This is such an important question, and I'm glad that we are beginning this conversation with understanding what Asian American means. So the term Asian American actually has its origins in the late 1960s, when people of Asian descent were inspired by civil rights activists and Black power activists and said, we are going to be more powerful if we build a coalition across ethnic groups and create a category called Asian American around which we can organize. So previously, we saw Japanese Americans and Filipino Americans and Chinese Americans organizing on their own. The late 1960s was when we begin to see Asian American as a political category really take off, as a coalitional category. It's complicated because there are, as you said earlier, so many different groups of people in this category of Asian American, so many different languages, so many different countries of origin, so many different religions, so many different levels of poverty, socioeconomic privilege. So this is a very complicated coalition to keep together because there are so many different interests, so many different histories, and so many needs in the current moment.
I mean, you know, we have that problem not just with Asian American and that term, but of course, lots of other things that we say or terms we use to describe people. I wonder, Dr. Borja, if you've given much thought to how we might do that differently, how we might come up with ways to describe people and their backgrounds that doesn't reduce them to a broad category. African Americans, of course, I think would have somewhat similar descriptions of feeling lumped together that way. Certainly, Latinos, Latino Americans could say the same thing. What's the way, I guess, that we walk away from that and towards something that feels better and maybe more inclusive?
I think one thing that we've seen in recent years is a push to disaggregate data. So instead of using a big category like Asian American, we're paying attention to how people identify in terms of ethnicity. We know, for example, that Southeast Asian Americans have different histories coming to the U.S. than East Asian Americans. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Southeast Asian Americans are here in the U.S. because of the wars that were fought in Southeast Asia, and they came to the U.S. as refugees. And they have a very different trajectory as a result of that history. So if we take time to disaggregate the data and say, okay, we're going to see if there are Hmong Americans at our university and there are Chinese Americans at our university, and we're going to pay attention to those distinctions, I think that is one way forward. But I also want to call attention to one challenge associated with being Asian American, which is the association of Asian Americans with high levels of education, mm-hmm. socioeconomic status, and privilege. And this is often described as the model minority stereotype. Mm-hmm. One thing that we really need to do is push back against that stereotype. I can go on about this later if you want to learn more. But one thing that is very harmful about that stereotype is that it obscures a lot of very different experiences within the community. The model minority stereotype assumes that all Asian Americans have college degrees, are doing well in terms of wealth and income. But the reality is there are very high rates of poverty among some ethnic groups in the U.S. It is related to their history as refugees, for example. And so I think one thing we can do is disaggregate data and push back against that model minority myth that obscures a lot of suffering within the Asian American category.
Yeah. I'm talking with Nargis Rahman, who is a reporter here at WDET. She has also documented oral histories of Detroit's Bangladeshi community. We're talking about the idea of Asian Americans and the change in ethnic backgrounds of the people here in Southeast Michigan, the growth of the Asian American community, the change of that community, the way it's changed Southeast Michigan. Also with us is Dr. Melissa Borja. She's an assistant professor at the University of Michigan in the American Studies and APIA Studies Department. She conducts research on Hmong communities and the policies that govern them. We want to hear from you during the conversation as well. Are you Asian American, or are you someone who comes from that part of the world who maybe doesn't want to describe yourself as Asian American, would rather a more specific description of your ethnicity be used? What do you make of that term? What does it mean to you? What do you make of things like the model minority myth, which Dr. Borja just referred to, this idea that Asian Americans are stereotypically high academic achievers and wealthy? Of course, we know that lots of people don't fall into that category who are Asian American. Also, give us a sense if you are a Warren resident or someone who goes to the Bangladeshi Festival in Warren. Have you been there in the past? What kinds of things do you like doing there? What do you think of the controversy this year over that festival, which seems to have been worked out, but I think is an inflection point for some of the questions that we're asking today about the way that our communities are changing and how people react to that change? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Twitter page, actually hashtag us on Twitter, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Nargis, I do want to talk about this controversy over the festival. The organizers and Mayor Jim Fouts say it was a misunderstanding, but this idea of describing it as, quote, too ethnic, I think reminds us of the difficulty that we still have sometimes getting people to understand that this is a place that is changing, and that there are people here who want to celebrate their presence here, want to celebrate the cultures from where they're from. Give us a sense of what happened there.
Well, as far as my understanding, the festival's been happening for many years, so it seems like more of an administrative type of response rather than a response from the whole city in terms of not wanting to have Bangladeshis in the city or in the community. And Warren has really changed dynamically in the past couple of years. I would even say in the past decade, there's been thousands of people, or hundreds of people rather, moving into Warren. And there is a strong presence of Bangladeshis now. And something specific to look at is that this year, five people of Bangladeshi origin are running for city council. And that shows that, you know, not only are Bangladeshis living there, but after opening businesses and purchasing homes, the next step is political representation. And that's something that people are really going for. So we're not shying away from asking for what we need. And something that we've seen changing over time is that first communities come here and then try to establish their basic necessities, right? Opening grocery stores and clothing stores and restaurants. And then the next thing is, like, this generation looking for ways to represent the needs of the community. And that might look like providing halal food in schools, for example, which Fitzgerald Public Schools has already established, and Warren Community Consolidated Schools is now slowly rolling out. And then next is looking at the people running for office and creating spaces that say, hey, you know, not only do we live here and we're welcome here, but we're part of this community and get used to that, you know.
yeah. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about the term Asian American, talking about the change in ethnic background in places here in Metro Detroit, the profound change, the growth of different communities that you might describe as Asian American. Also want to get going on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019 is the number here. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we can include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've joined us. We've got two great guests right now. Nargis Rahman is a reporter for WDET, someone who's also documented oral histories of Detroit's Bangladeshi community. We have Dr. Melissa Borah with us as well. She's an assistant professor at the University of Michigan in the American Studies and APIA Studies departments. She conducts research on Hmong communities and the policies that govern them. We are talking about the Bangladeshi Festival in Warren that is going to take place later this month, the 22nd and 23rd, a little bit of controversy this year over how that festival came together. But we're also talking more broadly about the experience of Asian Americans here in Southeast Michigan, whether people are comfortable being called Asian American, labeled as Asian American, whether that's too broad a label, whether that diminishes the profound ethnic diversity that we have among people who come from those parts of the world here in Southeast Michigan. We'd love to hear from you as well on the phones and on social. Call and let us know if you live in Warren or if you consider yourself Asian American. What do you make of the controversy over the Bangladeshi festival? What do you make over that term that gets applied to a very broad swath of people? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. Nargis, I want to talk a little about the maintenance of the history of Bangladeshi Americans in Detroit. You spoke earlier a lot about the history of Bangladeshi Americans coming here, also Hmong Americans, and are we preserving enough of that history, or as communities change, are we losing a lot of it?
That's a great question. And I think the first thing, the short answer is no, we're not preserving enough. And I would say that because growing up, I never saw stories of people like me. And I, whenever I did, living in Hamtramck specifically, I would always see negative stories of people like me, the poor Hamtramck students or those poor Bangladeshis. And it was very detrimental to the way we saw ourselves growing up. And it also made you want to, you know, minimize that part of yourself. And now, as I'm getting older, I realize that there's so much rich history and culture that can be preserved and should be celebrated, rather than saying all these people should just assimilate and forget about their roots and where they come from. Why not take the best of both and find ways to celebrate the intersectional identities? So one of the things that I did specifically about this is challenge myself to say, how can I be the change and put something forward? Because in our communities, we have a sense of you grow up, you go to school, try to get a better life, get an education, and come back and build your community. You don't just leave and disappear. You have to contribute to that. So I participated in something called the South Asian American Digital Archive, and my project was specifically documenting 10 stories of Bangladeshi American women entrepreneurs. And that the reason I did that was, whenever I did see positive stories about Bangladeshis, specifically in the Hamtramck, Detroit area, it was about the men who opened the grocery shops and the restaurants. Yeah. And I didn't see myself in those stories. And I'm really glad that those stories were still covered. But I feel like there's a missed opportunity to document the women behind the scenes that are really supporting these businesses. Oftentimes, they do also work and support the businesses, but you don't see them because they're not the public front-facing people. And then in the last decade or so, many small businesses have been opened by women who are still finding ways to take care of their families, hold on to their culture, learn, find niche businesses to hold on to tradition, whether that's cooking homemade meals and keeping the culture alive that way, or even providing things that are affordable to people in our community because they know that there's a need for that. So whether that's jewelry or event planning or, you know, customized cakes that incorporate Bangladeshi themes, they're really holding it down. And so I think it's something that needs to be documented into history. So then 100 years later, we have kids like, who, you know, that were like me, that can see themselves and say, you know what, women were part of building the history here, and they weren't something that were just, you know, the backstory. Yeah. And people are more excited to talk about that because people don't think about themselves in terms of how to see themselves forward 100 years later. And so if we're not documenting these stories, whether that's in the media or in oral histories, then people will not have a sense of who we were and where we're going.
Yeah, yeah. And as the community moves, all communities here in Southeast Michigan, I think, have journeys, really, right? They come here and settle in one space and then move to many others. The move to places like Warren, which is, I think, fascinating for a number of reasons, makes it harder, I think, to preserve that history, right? As you get sort of more spread out, more distant from that initial instance of being here, it gets to be more difficult to make sure that you're preserving the things that are important.
I think it's something that the Polish Americans also did, right? They moved into the suburbs once they kind of made it, or they wanted better opportunities for their kids. And that's the same thing that Bangladeshis are doing. And I'll give you another reason that we're moving into Warren. It's because it's easy to drive local up Dequindre and Ryan, to be honest. So you're still really connected to Hamtramck and Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You can drive down whenever you want and get your fix of, you know, all the Bangladeshi treats. And then you can go home and close the doors and live your quiet suburban life if you want to.
Yeah.
But one of the ways that Bangladeshis are kind of changing Macomb County, which is kind of funny, is like they're just opening businesses and then people are then moving into those communities because they benefit from being in those neighborhoods. So sometimes we would see the opposite happening, people moving and then opening businesses. But places like, you know, 10 Mile and Ryan, there's a huge number of businesses just in that area. So populations are finding ways to grow faster because they've already kind of done that in Hamtramck and Detroit. So they know how to replicate that easily. And we don't mind driving a couple minutes, you know, back and forth. And then we have large communities in Troy, Rochester Hills, Sterling mm-hmm. Heights, with people who are more like middle class families already live there. So it's kind of like bridging the gap, the economic ladder, rather, growing into communities that maybe are not used to seeing Bangladeshi families. But we are seeing that people are figuring it out as they go. So I used to say when we were younger, if you lived in Warren, you had to have both your parents working. Probably the teenagers are also working. You had to have two drivers. That was kind of like the formula. And now it's like you have to have at least one person with a high income salary and then maybe one car. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of ways that, you know, our generation is coming back and trying to slowly climb that socioeconomic ladder. And we're really still second gen, like first gen, second gen. And so sometimes we don't realize that these communities are still very new and growing. They're not, we're not fourth, fifth generation. So it's going to take time for us to be able to build our communities and see a lot of thriving. You know, we're still kind of getting there in this generation.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to take a quick call and then have Melissa Borja of the University of Michigan respond to our caller, Richard in Rochester Hills. We're running out of time, but quickly.
I want to take a quick call and then have Melissa Borja.
Richard, are you there?
Michigan respond to
Richard. You got to turn your radio down. Dr. Borja, I'm going to try to translate for Richard what he was trying to say. He's saying that Asian American is our way of trying to define people in a race. And I think the concept of race and racism is something we haven't talked a whole lot about. But we've only got about a minute left, but I do want to give you a chance to address that.
The reality is that Asian Americans have experienced a lot of discrimination on the basis of their race. I think it's important to name that. They're distinctive from a lot of immigrant groups in that they were denied citizenship for a long time on the basis of their race. So that's an important context. I think that Asian Americans, the political coalition that constitutes Asian Americans, arose because of a rejection of racism and white supremacy and imperialism. So yes, I think the context of racism in the United States is one reason why so many different people, different backgrounds come together and describe themselves as Asian Americans.
Yeah. Okay. Dr. Melissa Borja and Nargis Rahman, really great to have both of you here to discuss all of this. And thanks for being here on Detroit Today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to do it for us. Tune in tomorrow when we're going to re-air one of our favorite conversations about how we've changed the way we treat people with severe mental health issues in this country. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.